Good morning. How good it is to be together in a spirit of worship this morning in the beauty of this place. As always, a special welcome to everyone who is joining us for worship this morning, a particular welcome to those of you who are with us here for the first time. If this is your first time worshiping here with us at St. John's, I invite you to find a card that looks like this at the end of your pews, and to fill it out, and to place it in the basket in the back of the church on the bench as you're exiting. It is important always that everyone knows, whether visitor or regular, that no matter who you are, and no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. So welcome. There are a few announcements to make this morning. The first two are in the bulletin. There is one about part of our VBS program that is requiring some donations from you. So please take a look at that in your bulletin. Please also be aware of our ongoing request for gifts for Christmas in July as we seek to reinforce our Good Samaritan Fund and our gift cards that we hand out to those in need who come asking for help. Before we enter into worship this morning, I do have a special announcement, which unfortunately is some news with regards to Reverend Sue. She experienced a significant decline in health this week, and after meeting with her oncologist on Wednesday, she was admitted to the hospital, and with Bob and family, made the difficult decision to be put on hospice care and is now in the process of dying. She is being made comfortable and is surrounded by Bob and John and Jenny. I had the opportunity to be with Sue on Friday, and with me I took the prayers and love of all of you, the multitudes who surround her. There is nothing about this that is easy, and it will impact the way that worship unfolds this morning, because loss of any kind, but especially one this great, disrupts life with good reason. We are called to hold this space, impossible as it feels, and most importantly, to invite God into it. This morning, we will worship God the very best way we know how, which is exactly what Sue would want us to do as we gather together in the beauty of this sacred space. We will still sing, we will pray, we will grieve, we will be with one another. I am so very grateful for Reverend Wanda Craner, who is my personal spiritual director and a beloved friend and colleague to both Sue and myself, who offered to come and lead us in a meditative prayer sermon. Her presence is a gift to me this week as I spent this week attending to a variety of things, but it is also a gift to all of us, and I am grateful to share in leading worship with her this morning. I am also grateful to Ina Cho, who is serving as our guest organist this morning as Andrew is away in Minnesota celebrating his brother's wedding. Ina thoughtfully and carefully adjusted some of her music to reflect where we are this morning, and for that I am grateful. It is crucial that you know that any important information that you need to be aware of in the days ahead will be shared with you in a variety of ways at the appropriate time. Please continue to check your email, to pay attention to our St. John's Facebook page and website, or contact the church office for updates with regards to Sue. I urge you to please keep the Bertolettes in your prayers. They are very much feeling them and appreciating them. But please also give them time and space to surround Sue in her final hours. While Bob appreciates and is open to the reminders of the supportive and loving community of St. John's, please engage with the family with great mindfulness and discretion. The very best way to connect with Sue and her family right now is through prayer, and I do not mean that flippantly. Please, please pray for Sue as she transitions from this life to the next, and for her family as they attend to her in the midst of that. In fact, I'm going to invite us all to be together in a spirit of prayer now. Loving God, as we, your people, come together in this place, as we do every week, we pause to realize that this is not like every other week. One beloved to us is preparing to join you, and while we know and we lean into the promises of our faith, we also struggle, we grieve, we cry out to you. Be close to us now, O God. Remind us that worship is not just a time of celebration, but it is a sacred coming together of your people, that we might hold space for your work and movement among us, that we might surround Sue even from a distance with the warmth of our love. As we sing, as we listen, as we pray, may we feel you among us. Amen. I'm going to shift things around just a little bit and reflect on the theme now. I don't really have much to say about our theme this morning. It is shaped by prayer, other than that it is not a coincidence that that is our theme this morning. Prayer will indeed shape our time together, just as it has shaped each one of us and it has shaped our faith community. So bearing all of that in mind, I invite you to join me in taking a very deep, very slow, and very intentional breath. As we breathe in God's Spirit that fills this place and surrounds each one of us, as we exhale and do our best to set aside worry and fear and anxiety, and as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. invite you to join with me now as we confess our sins together by praying the prayer of confession that is printed in our bulletins. Let us pray. Loving God, we know that what we spend our time and energy thinking and doing have the power to shape our lives, for better or for worse. So often we forget that the practice of prayer has that better power. You long for us to choose to turn to you for guidance and direction, and then to live in ways that reflect your loving mercy and our relationship with you. You want prayer to be a reflex for us, as natural as breathing. And yet, prayer is so often our last resort. Forgive us, God, for viewing prayer as something to engage in only when all else fails, or when we want something to go our way. May times set aside for prayer shape our daily living so that our lives begin to take the shape of you. Amen. My friends, when we confess our sins, when we claim our mistakes, when we ask for God's help, it is given, and we are forgiven. And when we are shaped by God's forgiveness and grace, and when we choose to accept those priceless gifts, it makes all the difference. So may we do just that and allow our spirits, our lives, and our relationships with one another to be shaped by the abundant mercy of God. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything out of friendship, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if your child asked for a fish, would give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asked for an egg, would give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give to the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" As always, we ask God's wisdom to be in the midst of these words and in the midst of our lives as we seek to put them into use in our lives.
Good morning. Let's see, I see a few friends out there of the smaller size variety. I've been thinking a lot about prayer, especially this week. And it reminded me of a couple of things from when I was a kid. My father was a pastor of a very large church that looked an awful lot like St. John's. It had the beautiful stained glass windows and the stone and all of that. And, when I was a little kid, go to Sunday school and then go to church. And after church service, some of my friends from Sunday school would come up to me and say things like, "Does your father preach and pray like that at home?" That's not an easy question for an 8-year-old to answer. So, you know, I thought about that. And then I thought about another time when I was a kid. And when I was a teenager, we had an older retired pastor come to help out at the church. And he always did the children's stories. And at the end of every children's story, he said the same thing. He said, "Thanks for listening." And I thought about that in the context of prayer, because sometimes we think, oh, you know, prayer's that really formal thing, and we're going to do one of those formal prayers in a few minutes. But it doesn't have to be. Prayer is those times when we bring our joys and our concerns to God's attention. And if we think about it at the end, maybe we can remember to say, "Thanks for listening." So let us take a moment and think about all of the things that are on our hearts and our minds today and say, "God, we all have our own joys and our own concerns today. Please be listening to us as we share them with you. And we do thank you for listening to those. And thank you also for giving us the prayer that we all know and say together, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Grace and peace to you from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. Those are words of Abraham Lincoln, the 16th President of the United States. And perhaps in these days, they are our words too. For this faith family, hearing that Reverend Sue, your beloved pastor for over 40 years, is on the threshold of entering God's eternal realm and leaving earthly life, perhaps you, too, are experiencing a time of being driven to your knees in prayer. Perhaps all of us in this world of loss and contention and division are experiencing what Lincoln conveyed, being driven to our knees in prayer by the overwhelming conviction that we have nowhere else to go. And maybe, just maybe, that is one of the reasons that God has gifted us with prayer. In the past 2 years plus of dealing with COVID, in the current scorching days of heat and climate change, wars and rumors of potential wars, violence, racial divides, and so much more, I've thought more than once, what in the world is going on? Have you ever thought that? And equally, where are you, God, in this? That question has become an ongoing, persistent prayer. And surely in relation to my friend and colleague, Sue, in relation to Pastor Addie's dear colleague and mentor and partner in ministry, and in relation to your long-term pastor and faith family leader, I and we may wonder where God is in the midst of our grief and in the midst of Sue's journey right now, right this moment. In preparing for this time together, I was reminded of a book entitled Ashes Transformed. It was written by Reverend Tilda Norberg immediately after the tragedy of September 11th, 2001. Tilda lives on Staten Island, right across from Manhattan, where the World Trade Towers fell in the wake of the terrorists flying airplanes into them. She directly witnessed the plumes of smoke, the chaos, and the fear. In Ashes Transformed, Tilda shares 43 stories of faith connected with the trauma and tragedy of 9/11. Stories of ordinary folk like you and like me. She says, painful experiences, no matter how catastrophic, can be healed through a combination of prayer and inner work. You do not forget the experiences, but they no longer have the power to control your reactions. Through prayer, God works to bring you the wholeness God wills for you. Now, one of the stories entitled Tisha's Song arises from my own family. You see, my husband Steve and I and our little daughter Tisha happened to be in Disney World on September 11th of 2001. When the announcement came over this loudspeaker to clear the park immediately, No explanation was given to this unequivocal order. The crowd was simply told that it is extremely urgent to get to our various hotels right away. And the mood of lighthearted celebration quickly turned to fear as we worried parents hustled our children toward the exits. Upon reaching our hotel room, Steve and I turned on the TV and watched in horror as news of the World Trade Center disaster flashed across the screen. And like everyone, we were transfixed and sickened by the unbelievable events. Coming directly from the fantasy of Disney World, we found the surreal images particularly disorienting. As we continued to watch coverage of the disaster, little Tisha wandered in front of the television screen, partially covering it with her small body. She began to sing softly, gently, simply. And as I began to let Tisha's song break into my consciousness, I said to Steve, "Listen, do you hear what Tisha's singing?" In awe, we listened as Tisha sang in her clear, small voice, her song expressing the prayer in our own hearts. Tisha was not quite 3 at the time, and she was singing, "Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, kumbaya." Come by here, my Lord. It was a song that I had sung to Tisha many a night when she was resisting going to bed and she was having difficulty going to sleep. I used the song because the repetition and ease of the words were part of a pretty mindless activity for an exhausted mother at the time. And yet, that song stuck in her being. On September 11th, the prayer, the song, was shared by a 3-year-old, and it changed our gaze, consumed by the tragic events, to a sense of God's presence with us in the midst. In ashes transformed, story after story involving widely diverse people challenged by hurt and trauma show how God shows up as we pray and as we learn to lean on God, especially in times when human resources are unavailable or are lacking. Yes, Lord, teach us to pray. In the Gospel of Luke, the disciples were witnessing Jesus praying. You might imagine Jesus sitting in a certain place, it says, and the disciples are there and perhaps watching him. And when he finished, one of them said to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." And what follows is a version of what many of us know as the Lord's Prayer or the prayer of our Savior. But given the intended audience, it might better be named the disciples' prayer. Jesus invites us to address the Holy One of Israel as Pater, Father, akin to the way a child would ask a parent for something of dear need and desire. Jesus invites us into relationship with God through prayer, offering his disciples and us the opportunity to approach the God whose name was thought to be too holy to speak and whose countenance was too terrible to behold, with the familiarity, boldness, and trust of a young child running to her parent for both provision and protection. Prayer, according to the gospel passage, and the larger portrait of Jesus throughout the Gospels, is not primarily about getting things from God, but rather about the relationship we have with God. We're invited to make all of our needs, wants, hurts, hopes, and desires known to God, to speak them into existence in the confidence that whatever may happen, this relationship can bear hearing these things and may actually even depend upon hearing them. Anne Lamott writes in Traveling Mercies that our two best prayers are, help me, help me, help me, and thank you, thank you, thank you. And I think Jesus might agree. As there rests in Jesus' words to his disciples then and now, an invitation above all else to honesty, the candor that comes from intimacy and trust. When we are faced with situations beyond our control, overwhelming feelings and reactions, God invites us to come and pray, to lean into rest in God's care. And most assuredly, that is what Reverend Sue is doing in these days. Leaning into rest in God's care and love. And most assuredly, as we think of her, we are offered similar compassionate care in hope and possibility. With this in mind, I'd like to invite you into a time of meditative prayer. As you feel comfortable, you may want to close your eyes, and the purpose for that is just so you don't have to have me and other visual images kind of distracting you. So if you feel comfortable to close your eyes, I invite you to do that. And just let yourself sink into the quietness of this space. Take some deep breaths, perhaps breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth a number of times, deep breaths, and continue to breathe deeply and gently. And as you do, get a sense of yourself in a special favorite place. It may be a place outside, maybe at the mountains or the shore, at your home, a favorite vacation spot. It may even be a special space in this church somewhere that you feel especially touched in. And in your mind's eye, in your faith imagination, as you're at that spot, notice colors that are around you. Notice perhaps smells and sounds that are present. And just be there in that place. And as you are there, let arise within you a prayer concern, perhaps a need you may have that you desire to bring to God today. Maybe it's a feeling. Maybe it has to do with another person or persons. Or maybe it's something that has been troubling you. Just trust that what comes to you right now is the thing to be bringing to God. Now get a sense of Jesus, the risen Christ, meeting you in that place, in your faith imagination. Perhaps you'll have a sense of Jesus sitting next to you, or you'll see him as an image in your mind's eye, or feel his warmth and presence with you. When you are aware of his presence, share in your inner being with him your prayer, your concern, your need that has arisen. Get a sense of Jesus receiving with deep compassion and care what you have just shared with him. If you have a picture of Jesus in your mind's eye, look into Jesus' eyes gazing upon you and receive his love. Perhaps you will have a sense of him speaking to you, maybe stirring in you a memory or a story or a thought, something that connects with your concern. Try as best you can to trust what's coming to you and receive it. Take in Jesus' response to your prayer. Then within yourself, thank Jesus in whatever way seems appropriate for you. Then see him slowly departing, while at the same time promising you that he will be there whenever you call upon him. He will be there to hear and listen to your prayer. Again, have a sense of your special favorite place where you have met Jesus this morning. And be there for a moment, just taking in what you have experienced. And as you are ready, begin to open your eyes. Be aware of others in this faith community with you. You may want to move your muscles a little bit and awaken your body, reawaken your body. We have a wonderful shelter in God, whose heart always welcomes us. God offers us sustenance and strength during times when we are too weak to stand alone. God invites us in those times especially to lean on God in prayer. Hear the words of Joyce Rupp, who reflects on leaning on God. She writes, "Some people lean against fence posts when their bodies ache from toil. Some people lean on oak trees, seeking cool shade on hot humid days. Some people lean on crutches when their limbs won't work for them. And some people lean on each other when their hearts can't stand alone. How long it takes to lean upon you, God of shelter and strength. How long it takes to recognize the truth of where our inner power has its source. All my independence, with its arrogance, stands up and stretches within me, trying to convince my trembling soul that I can conquer troubles on my own. But the day of truth always comes when I finally yield to you, God, knowing you are a steady stronghold, a refuge when times are tough. Thank you for offering me strength, for being the oak tree of comfort. Thank you for being the sturdy support when the limbs of my life are weak. Continue to transform me with the power of your love. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen."
Please be seated. As we move into a time of prayer this morning, of course, we keep Sue and her family in our prayers. I also have joys and concerns that have been shared with us through the course of the week that I want to share as well. We had several people celebrating birthdays this week. Jen Moyer, John Hendricks, and Ann Kinsey celebrated birthdays this past week, and Dick Borse is celebrating his 94th birthday today. So we celebrate with many people in our midst. Yes, agreed. As I said before, Andrew is in Minnesota celebrating his brother Zach's wedding, and he asked that we lift their family up in prayer as we celebrate with the Paulson family. Quite a few concerns to lift up this morning. Judy Haggis, who is the mother of Cindy Reese, both of whom are members here at St. John's, continues to be in Lansdale Hospital, and we continue to surround her with healing and comfort and peace for her and her family. Last week, I announced Dennis Canfield's passing, and I just want to update with regards to plans. Dennis's memorial service will take place on Tuesday of this week here at St. John's at 10 a.m. A time to greet the family will take place after the service outside in our meditation garden, and the family is asking that masks be worn during the service. So the service begins at 10 a.m. There's no calling time before, but there will be a time to greet family following the service. Betty Sakaitis is at Peter Becker for rehab following a heart attack a few weeks ago, so we keep Betty in our prayers. And Kay Fiala let us know this week that PJ Bowie passed away on July 5th. Some of the congregation may remember PJ, who was a member of the chancel choir. PJ and her husband Dwayne moved to Holland, Michigan a number of years ago. So we continue to keep Dwayne and PJ's family in our prayers. There's a lot to pray for today. And so I invite you now to bring the prayers of your hearts and minds to mind as we lift them up to God together in prayer. Loving and gracious and merciful God, our persistence in prayer is not about wearing you down until you give us what we want, but it is about wearing a path to you so that our feet know where to walk, where to find you when we are in need. Prayer is a gift you have taught us, you have given to us, so that we might connect with you whenever and wherever, that we might feel your presence at all times and in all places. Prayer is also a way in which we powerfully connect with one another, a way we show compassion towards one another and hold one another up. How good it is to know that we are a people shaped by prayer, that just as we pray for others, others pray for us. Within our own community this day, we lift up Jen and John, Ann and Dick, and we give you thanks for their lives. We think of Andrew and his brother Zach and their family as they celebrate a wedding. God, our prayers of concern continue to surround Judy, the Canfield family, Betty, and the Bowie family. May each of them know, may all of them know, that your loving presence surrounds them, that your comfort is with them, that as they mourn and as they grieve, as they heal, as their bodies know peace, that you are so very close at hand. God, we take time now to lift up Sue and Bob and John and Jenny. May they too know your very real presence in these precious, precious moments. We take time now, O God, to lift over to you all of the thoughts, all of the prayers, all of the joys and concerns that are on our minds as we pray silently to you. Lord, hear our prayers. May your justice and truth be what moves us in this world, a world so often paralyzed and led by poverty and violence, by misunderstanding and closed-mindedness, by heartbreak and fear. God, when we ask for your kingdom to come, we do so laying all that we have and all that we are into your hands, knowing that your love is that of redemption, a love that can take the darkness of our fear and our grief and bring it into the light of peace and hope. Help us, O God, to be open to you, to look after people in need, to hold one another in prayer. Give us our daily bread, the nourishment we need, body and soul, to do this work, to bear the cost and the joy of being human disciples, knowing that everything we receive from you is better when we share it abundantly with our neighbors. Thank you, O God, for the gift of this day, for these people, and for the prayer that you have taught us and continue to teach us each and every day. May we continue to go to it, to cling to it, this day and always. Amen. Hopefully you had an opportunity to share your offering in the plates as you came in this morning. A reminder that if you did not get a chance to do that, you're welcome to come forward after the service to place your offering in the plates up front. But in the meantime, I'm going to invite you to stand as we join together in singing our doxology as our offering is brought forward and we lift it up to God. God, just as we hope that we ourselves are shaped by your love, we also pray that our community takes the shape of you. One of the ways that happens is when we take the generous gifts that have been offered by your people and use them in ways that honor you, that feed your people, body and soul, and that share the good news of your love. To our gifts this morning, O God, we pray that you add your blessing, that you bless the hearts and the hands that offered them. May we as a faith community continue to take the shape of you in all that we do and in all that we are. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
how grateful I am that we were together this morning. And as we go out into the unknown of these hours, of this day, of the next few days, may you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the love of God surrounds you, that the peace of God enfolds you, and that the power of God protects you this day and every day. Amen.